football on off the ball.
Listen, I'm, you know, hopeful as anyone. You know, we're all working as hard as we can to, you know, go out and train and do really well. And, you know, whatever team the manager picks, you know, we all row in behind that. Whether we're playing or not playing, we need to be ready.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Right, myself and Stewie Byrne have officially touched down in Prague. We have wandered over to a beautiful little park where we are meeting an Irishman named Ian Willoughby, who you might have seen on other Irish media over the course of the last couple of days. Ian, good to see you. You are officially the Irish in Czechia correspondent for the entire Irish media at this point.
Well, so it seems. I mean, there are no other Irish journalists here as far as I know, maybe one or two, but I guess I'm a little bit more visible. So, yeah, I've got the great task of speaking to people like yourselves.
Where are we right now?
We're on a place called Slavansky Island. We're just by the Vltava River. Behind us is Prague Castle. Anybody who's been to Prague will definitely know the castle. We're just near the National Theatre, so very much in the heart of Prague.
Okay. We should say as well that there's a number of dogs around here having their walk. Pixie, your own dog here as well. She's very welcome. I'm delighted for her to make her off-the-ball debut this afternoon. What's your story? How did you end up here? How long have you been here? Tell us the whole spiel.
Well, I've been here for 33 years. I came here in the early 90s, first on holiday, and then I was on the dole, as were a lot of people in those days, nothing going on. And I thought I'd come here for a year or two and teach English. And then I just liked it here so much that I stayed. And now I'm married, I've got a Czech son, and this is very much home for me. Also, I got a Czech citizenship some years ago, simply because I've been here so long, I wanted to vote. Of course, I kept my Irish citizenship, but you can have dual citizenship. I wouldn't have given up my Irish citizenship, but I'm glad I did that. And yeah, I think I'm here for the very long haul.
Why Czechia in the first place?
Well, because a buddy of mine from school was studying history in Trinity, and he took a year off and came here and basically wrote me a letter saying, it's very cool here, it's cheap, the beer is great and cheap, the girls are lovely. And I was on the dole, so of course all this stuff was extremely attractive. And it was amazing in those days. I mean, a beer cost, I don't know what it would cost in today's euros, like 20 cents or something. It was really, really cheap. And everything was colorful, and it was really exciting being here. It was just a couple of years after the fall of communism. And also, it's just a really easy place to live here. Everything works really well. Healthcare, which I didn't care about in those days, but now it's more important. Education, public transport is amazing. Also, what I like about here a lot is it's really safe. Czechs are, they just don't fight, they're not aggressive. I always say that they're passive aggressive, but that's my favorite kind of aggressive because I won't get a black eye.
Yeah.
They'll give you the shit eye, but they won't. All I've seen here in 30 years is a little bit of handbags.
Okay.
Honestly, it's just safe here, except maybe around the train stations at midnight. Otherwise, I wouldn't look over my shoulder. Ever. It's a really safe place to live, which counts for a lot, I think.
Have you seen a whole heap of change then in the course of three decades? I guess every place changes in three decades, but particularly considering you came here not so long after the fall of communism.
Yeah, a lot of change. A hell of a lot of change. Basically, they kind of caught up here with the West. When I first came here, right in the city center, there were loads of empty spaces and buildings, like grand buildings, but in a state of disrepair. And for example, when I first lived here, we used to go to a nightclub right in just off Wenceslas Square in this building that was like a palace. It literally was a palace. It had been used by the SS during the war. It was in a bad state, but because it was before restitution, which was when a lot of people who had their property seized by the communists got it back after 1990, all these buildings were between owners and between before renovation, and the center of Prague was like our playground. You know, we went from one amazing building to the other. Now all those buildings are really grand, as they probably should have been, you know, except for communism, and they wouldn't be used in this way. But I and all my friends had the opportunity to enjoy those brilliant places, and Yeah, of course, I'm older myself now, so I don't go out as much and everything like that. But even still, going out is very reasonable here. It costs like €3 for a beer. It cost €1, it feels like, not that many years ago. Then it was €2, now it's €3. But it's still, you know, still acceptable.
Yeah, you certainly haven't lost any Irishness, given that the way in which you judge the quality of a place is how much the alcohol actually costs. €3 beers, Shiri, I think we're pretty sorted with that, right?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask, do you keep in touch with home much at all? Like, you know, because €3 beer, it sounds like, probably late 80s to us. Yeah.
No, of course I go home often enough, probably like twice a year. But I must say, after so many years away, I mean, Dublin has changed, not as much as Prague, but it has changed a hell of a lot since I left. Yeah. And going out at home for me is just like shocking, the prices. And I'll do it, but, you know, I feel the pain in a way you guys mightn't notice or mightn't feel. And, I'm in touch with home, but not as much as I used to. Like, I follow Irish news a bit. Not that closely. Sometimes, for example, I get asked by Czech media, will you go on our program and discuss something in Irish news? And I'll just say no, because I would have to study it myself. I don't follow it that closely. I couldn't talk about what Brexit means for the North or something without spending like a long time or a couple of hours probably studying it, because I'm not that, and I don't follow Irish news that much.
Just you mentioned there that Ireland has changed so much, and like living in Ireland, I'd actually agree with that completely. Like, you know, it seems to be changing probably a little bit too much and too quickly. But is that the appeal of this place? You kind of get the sense that there's very much, it feels like a place that evolves naturally and slowly. And is that the appeal of somewhere like Prague? You know, architecturally you can see it's stunning. It's stunning because it hasn't changed, you know, and there isn't that much diversity in the buildings themselves.
Well, I don't know about that, but I keep saying the same thing. It's just an easy place to live here. You can get around on public transport so easily. Everywhere is half an hour walk anyway. The public transport, if you get a year's pass, it costs €3 a week. And you can set your watch by the trams here, the buses, the metros. It's simply amazing. I remember trying to catch buses in Dublin, and it was just like a lottery, you know. You'd have to always be early, like really early. Yeah. And then none would come, and then three would come. And I know things maybe have improved now with the Lewis and everything. I've never even been on that, you know, before. It's after my time, rather. But, it's just an easy place to live here. And of course, I know a lot of Irish people here, and I have a lot of international friends and a lot of Czech friends. I have a Czech wife, and I'm very kind of integrated here. And I've had a pretty nice kind of working life here. I mean, I left because I was on the dole, and I probably would have found something comparable, maybe would have found something comparable anyway. But for me, it was definitely, it felt like a second chance being here. And I know a lot of foreigners, Americans, Brits, Irish, had a similar experiences here, that they came in their 20s and they were kind of drifting, weren't sure what they wanted to do themselves, not much going on at home in the case of Ireland anyway. And, you know, they found something for themselves and made nice lives here. And I know a lot of people like that. And I personally am very glad that I came here. And also I always say the same thing as well. If I loved Ireland so much, I wouldn't have left. You know, I had other reasons to leave. For example, when I left, it was very religious still. Now that's changed a lot. But I remember one time being in Rathmines on a Sunday evening, walking down the... Sorry, Ranelagh. Or was it Rathmines? One of them. Walking down the street.
Dublin 6.
Yes. And a chapel let out in the evening, like Sunday evening, 6 o'clock. And it was all these young people coming out of the chapel. And I thought, this isn't for me. I don't want to be in a place like this. It was also after the referendums and, you know, before a lot of the change that has come, and at a very fast pace, I think, for Ireland. And yeah, when I came here, you wouldn't see a priest or a nun, you know. It was really kind of refreshing for me in that regard. And it's very secular here. They say this is the most atheistic nation. The Czechs are the most atheistic nation in Europe, and it feels like that. I mean, outside the Prague, it's a bit different, especially in the west of the country. It's a bit more religious, but here, it's very secular, which appeals to me a lot.
Okay, that's fascinating. we're here to talk about football by and large today, but I understand maybe football isn't your chosen subject here. It is more maybe the front of the newspaper or more current affairs that your journalistic subjects would be, right?
Yeah, I cover, I mean, I work for Radio Prague International. It's pretty small, so we do a bit of everything. I do some sport, right, but also arts, history, social affairs, a lot of politics, which is great for me to, you know, have my oar in so many different areas. But I know I follow the sport to some degree, okay, of course, yeah, yeah. And I'm a football fan as well, so...
Yeah, well, to what degree is that moving the needle this week? Because back home, the football kind of is the needle this week. There's nothing bigger in the country, full stop, never mind comparing it with other sports. The tripartite hat-trick last November against Hungary was one of the biggest moments of the year last year, full stop, not just in sport. So to what degree is Czechia and Prague going through a similar sense of fever this week?
Well, the fever, I think, is just arriving off all the planes at Prague Airport, because right, the fever was not here, isn't here among the Czechs.
Right.
I mean, of course there are Czech football fans, but no way are they as football nuts as Irish people or British people. Not at all. I mean, soccer isn't the top sport here. That would be ice hockey. Their biggest success in the last few decades was when they won the Olympics in ice hockey, Winter Olympics, in 97, I think it was. Yeah, if they get into the World Cup, for example, which let's hope they don't, then there will be interest, but not nowhere near as much as you would get at home. And also, one aspect of the World Cup is that there's a Czech community in America, but it's tiny compared to the Irish community in America and diaspora. So if that's one thing I keep thinking as well. One reason, I mean, I would support Ireland anyway, but I think if they were to get through, it would mean so much more to so many people than if the Czechs went through, which I don't see happening in any case.
Okay. So I went into a shop not so long ago, and the woman behind the counter started to speak some Czech to me. Obviously, I've got no words of Czech, and she was bemused and laughed out loud uncontrollably when my purchase was nearly half a dozen newspapers. She was thinking, what on earth is this ignoramus doing reading Czech literature today? These are for you, because you're going to help us translate some of the headlines today, Ian. So I'm just going to go through some of these newspapers. This newspaper is called Sport, so I can guess what this newspaper tends to be about. It's a sport daily, but on the front of the newspaper we've got clearly stories of the match fixing scandal here. So scandal with a K is the headline here. Talk to us about what's going on.
Yeah, well, scandal is an international word, and this is like the kind of Czech equivalent of L'Équipe or something. It's not as good, but that's what it is. It is the main Czech sports daily. Yeah, scandal, gigantic scandal before the playoffs, and this is about a match fixing scandal in Czech lower league football that blew up yesterday. They say it was the biggest ever police action of its kind involving football in this country. It's mainly in the east of the country, it seems like, and they have arrested something like 50 people. And UEFA are involved. The Czech FA have been working with UEFA on this. And I guess it must have been some time coming, and it's only a coincidence that it has blown up right now, which is a kind of crazy coincidence, just 2 days before the big game. And yeah, this is a big deal for Czech sport, Czech football. And to be honest, Czech football, especially in the lower leagues, it's people say it's rife with corruption and a lot of bribery, even in kids football, local football. You hear about refs getting barrels of beer and stuff like this, like crazy things, or you know, salami. I'm kind of exaggerating, yeah. but there's a lot of corruption in Czech football. And I stopped watching Czech first division football because there was a big scandal, Jesus, the best part of 20 years ago. And there was it was so deep and it was so horrible. And also you'd watch games where some big club, let's call them Sparta Prague, okay, would get a penalty like 5 minutes after full time, you know, after the 90th minute, and that didn't make any sense, and it really just stank. And the level, of course, is not that great either. They produce good players, of course, because you get them, you know, Socek and all these guys going to the Premier League, and in the past, many more better players than him. But Yeah, I don't follow that closely, but the big story right now is the scandal, the gigantic scandal before the playoffs.
This broadsheet then, this Denik.cz, I don't suspect there's any football on the front there, but on the back we have a football scandal again. What's interesting to me here is that your two stories in the back, one is the scandal, but the second one is ice hockey here, so that the national football team isn't even getting onto the main page in the sports section this morning.
Yeah, I think for Irish people that would be very surprising, you know. The scandal is huge, but as you say, the second story is ice hockey. Why isn't it the lineup for tomorrow or something to do with the big game itself? It is weird, and it does say something about the level of excitement or lack of it in connection with the game tomorrow. But yeah, football scandal acquires concrete shape, and yeah, there's a club called Carvinagh implicated here, there in the west of the country, in the city of Ostrava, the third biggest city here. And yeah, so again, it's the scandal.
Okay, it's on the front page of this newspaper as well. DNS, is that what you call it? And then the sports section on the back has a referee showing a red card. So again, it doesn't look like there's much emphasis on the national team here, but no. Do correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, again, no emphasis on the national team. The headline here is, yeah, first it's on the... It's the main story in the front page. Back page, help, football again in the mud. Can it be cleaned up is the question mark.
Okay.
And of course, usually if you see a question mark in a headline, the answer is no. I mean, maybe it can be cleaned up. Let's hope.
Journalism 101, no matter what the language is, it's always a no. We have this newspaper here called AHA, which feels fairly glossy, but I think we can officially say, if we turn to the back, that Meghan Markle is making more back page headlines here than the national team of Czechia. So I don't suspect this is your bread and butter sports publication.
No, it's just a tabloid, pretty crappy tabloid at that, I must say. They do have the football scandal, though, and the headline is kind of hard to translate, but it means like disgusting mess of the century or something like that.
Right.
Because it really is huge. I mean, this is something that's been talked about for years, and now it has blown up in an enormous way. And also it has got quite a lot of international attention. I've seen a lot of headlines all over the place in the Athletic and elsewhere.
And then finally then we have Pravo, which leads with the police investigating corruption on the front. You can probably tell by a lot of the shared language there. And on the back, that's the same story here as well in Pravo. So this is utterly dominant. Is this going to distract from things over the course of the next 48 hours? It's totally separate, right?
It's totally separate. I can't see it distracting from the game. I mean, the timing is not good if you're the Czech FA. Obviously, that's a bad look to have all these Irish fans and delegates and the team and everybody here for this huge, huge match, and they're dealing with this. But as I said earlier, they were involved in this investigation with UEFA. It must have been on the cards for a long time, or, you know, planned for a long time. And it's got to be just coincidence that they decided to move this week and make all these arrests. It's unfortunate, but I don't see how it would distract from the game itself.
So, like, I have a League of Ireland background, okay? So, you know, we at home, we would have had, how would I put this, maybe an historical sort of idea of how maybe the country thinks about League of Ireland football, you know, because of such a strong GAA background, so on and so forth. The point I'm trying to get to is that I would have thought there, you know, and still do think that there's a certain element of society, government, whatever, that kind of frown a little bit upon the game. I'm getting the sense, is there something similar going on here? Like, football is the bad boy or of sport, or what exactly do people actually think about the game here?
I wouldn't say it's seen as a second-class sport or the bad boy of Czech sport. There's just less interest in it than there is in other sports. And ice hockey is the number one sport by some distance. For example, when the Czechs won the Winter Olympics, every family was watching this on TV. And it may sound sexist, but all women were interested in it. My wife would watch a Czech ice hockey game. She wouldn't watch a football game if you paid her. And it's just more popular. And football was never the top sport here, as far as I know. And also, their kind of glory years are a long way behind them. I mean, they got to the World Cup final twice, but, you know, best part of a century ago. They won the European Championship in 1976, of course, with the Panenka, the original Panenka penalty scored by Antonín Panenka. They did okay in the 2000s, of course. They got to the semi-finals in Euro 2004. They had a great team in those days. But now they are... There's a couple of well-known players, but very few of them would be known to the general public. There's not that much interest. It's certainly not a golden generation these days. There are some at big clubs, yeah, like Patrick Schick at, I guess he's at Leverkusen, and a few others. But it's not like in the days of Rosicki and Petr Cech, of course, he was, he's still huge here. And yeah, it's just, it's not a great era for Czech football. And even if it was, though, I think the Czechs in general wouldn't be getting so excited about it.
What can we expect atmosphere-wise, though, in the game? I mean, because you've totally thrown me. I am now going, I don't know what to expect tomorrow night. Is it going to be hostile? Do they have like kind of an ultras element that gets noise going? I mean, what do we expect?
Well, they do have ultras here, that's for sure. All the clubs have their own ultras. I don't think it'll be hostile. Also, I think a lot of Irish fans will be getting into the Czech sectors. The Czechs are pretty peaceable people. Maybe if something dramatic happens in the game, there could be some aggro. I just don't really see it happening. Pavel Nedvěd, who was, you know, one of only two Czech players to get the European Player of the Year, he is now the general manager of the Czech squad. And he said recently that he knows thousands of Irish are coming. They're very welcome to Prague, have fun in Prague, but he doesn't want them getting into the stadium. He said, we have to make sure that they don't get in, that there's only the 1,000 who have the allocated tickets. I think there'll be a lot more. How many, I obviously couldn't say. I can't see trouble. I hope I'm right, of course. I would be very surprised.
Does that sort of message from Pavel Nedvěd include you?
Well, actually, I'm not going. I almost always, if I apply for accreditation, I'll get a ticket.
Right.
I guess there's too much demand this time. Right. And I kept checking my email. I even checked it today, hope against hope, that I would get it like the day before the game. But no, I'm not going, unfortunately. Sad to say.
Surely, with all the Irish media contacts you've made over the last couple of days, somebody can bundle you into the press box come 7:45 or 8:45 tomorrow evening.
Well, that would be amazing, but I don't see that happening either. But
just one last thing. You mentioned the fantastic nightclub that you attended and frequented during your early years here. What's the modern version of that? Where should the Irish people who are looking for a little something different after hours?
You're asking for a friend, though.
Asking for a friend.
Okay. Well, as a man of a certain age, I couldn't tell you what's the best nightclub. But what I would say to fans who are here is there's so many pubs. Although 5,000 people without tickets, if that is the case, that's going to be a lot of pubs. It's going to take a lot of pubs to accommodate them, but I'm sure everybody will find a place to watch the game. I can't see how that wouldn't happen. The Czech pub landlords will be laughing all the way to the bank, and I think people will, yeah, they'll do great to just stay in the city centre and they'll find some pubs. A couple of years ago, in 2023, the final of the Conference League was here with West Ham and Fiorentina, and there was a lot of West Ham fans with no tickets. And somebody, I guess it was UEFA, it must have been, had the idea of creating this kind of fan zone in a park with a huge screen, and a lot of West Ham fans there. It looked brilliant, actually. But I thought, when this game was on the cards, I thought somebody should do the same. But then I realized that game was in June. Imagine tomorrow night, the temperature, it's going to be cold. So you couldn't be outside for many hours, and because that would have been really great, but it doesn't make any sense. People will have to be indoors, but they'll definitely find some cozy pub.
Ian, it's been a pleasure spending some time in your company. Thanks a million for the introduction to Prague and to Czech football as a whole. Very best to your country, the Republic of Ireland, tomorrow night. Thankfully, you don't have to like gratuitously say good luck to Czechia or anything like that. And if you do get into the stadium, hopefully it's enjoyable. Ian Willoughby, thank you.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.
Cheers.